Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. Brian Beeler here. We've got an abbreviated crew. Tom's out. I think he's having some sort of very serious surgery. Hopefully he won't pull through. We've got Adam in the podcast studio today.
Hello.
And we've got Kevin as well.
I think I'm going to steal your beer.
Yes, today's podcast is sponsored by Bell's Two-Hearted Ale, one of the better American IPAs, although I think most are IPAs are American, Comstock, Michigan. These guys do a good job, and if there was no better day for drinking, I can't tell you what it would be.
I lost hair today.
Hair, soul, lifespan. As we discussed in the last podcast, we upgraded our website, and we decided this morning was the right time to go, and boy, was it an absolute train wreck. Anyone that's ever developed an app or website, and
we just need to update it more often than every like 19 years.
That was part of the problem, but that moment when you christen the ship by breaking the champagne over the front, which in our parlance was updating the IP address in GoDaddy. It's as if the champagne bottle was full of like nuclear waste that immediately ate through the hull of our ship and it sank
kind of
in
like
the harbor.
The time where you hit the champagne bottle and it breaks off part of the boat.
Yes, the boat sunk. So Kevin spent 4 hours with the dev team, with friends and family, with spiritual advisors, trying to resurrect the ship and take the battle back to the internet. And we are mostly there. So if you check out the site, the new design's there. It's about, what do you want? Let's be generous. What do you think? Are we 82% functional right now?
I'd say we're probably over 90%.
Really? Wow.
Well, it's the weird things that are broken.
What do you think, Adam?
Considering that we can only see 5 pieces of news and whatever the enterprise reviews are on the first page.
Well, we can see all the enterprise reviews. We
search for them, sort of.
Hey,
clicking on some things brings you some.
All right.
If I search on Google, I can find things on our website.
Yeah, so we'll get there.
Actually, searching our website like you used to you'll find some new things that you didn't know existed because it's linking to weird things. So you might find some interesting new content.
So we've got some issues to iron out over the weekend and into next week, and it'll be a heavy Bell's Two-Hearted sort of weekend, I think, for me anyway. Did we do anything else in the last week? My mind was completely wiped by the agony of today. I know we did.
I started testing that 4-bay Synology affordable unit.
Yeah. The
420J. Yeah.
J-Dog.
Cost effective.
Yes. Well, affordable's okay. Mm. Just not cheap.
Cheap.
It is a little less affordable with those 2 16-terabyte Iron Wolves in there, but that's all right.
Was it 16s or 14s?
16s, because I was going to put 14s in that video, and we took the top off the toaster to find there were 16s in there. So, that's cool. We did made some progress on the HPE microserver. Everyone seems to be loving that, even if they hate it.
Yeah, it's been popular, but I think there's been a shift in the market of just how people have been looking at those since, I mean, when those things first came out, Nux were not on the market, and those things, the cheapness factor, I think you could say cheap with Nux, that
cost effectiveness, please.
Yes, those are like bottom of the barrel in terms of price. And you have a lot more options now. So it's like as people start looking at, RAM tops out at this amount, or it doesn't have onboard M.2, or even an onboard micro SD slot. Like there's certain things like, it doesn't really have a lot of the stuff you could find with competing offerings now. So it's a cool solution, but I think it has a lot more competition these days.
So we did the responsible thing. We've got a long video, 20 plus minutes, of adding 8 terabytes of SATA Enterprise Flash and a 25 gig card to the box, none of which is supported, but all of which works. We added installed ESXi, 67U3, got operational, and we're just still kind of waiting for that last DIMM to show up so we can get testing. But Kevin, I pulled this up. This is you got feedback on this, and I know how much you love your lighting on the videos. Great.
They didn't say sound, But that is an area we know needs improvement.
Sound, we know. We're working on it, all right? Great how-to video. Video quality and lighting are top-notch. I don't know why I took a screen cap of that on my Apple Watch, but Kevin...
We still know my...
Loves that.
Four-year-old shits on my videos, so there's
that. Well, just the one. Have you asked him lately? Oh, you haven't made another one since then. You were so broken from that feedback.
Yeah.
That thumbs down. Killed it.
Yeah. So, we are actually prepping to make some moves in our facility to make room for a quieter recording space. And one of the things we did today or this week was get rid of a butt ton of power cables. I estimated probably between 40 and 50 pounds of power cables we gave away this week.
Yeah, we really cleaned out a lot of the lab.
Well, one room.
We have many, but don't worry. There's more boxes. And someone is getting a special box full of little rack metal plates. We're shipping flat rate boxes. So I was like, how can I make this even more special? So I was throwing in spare keys.
Yeah, great. What are they going to do with those rack keys you threw in a couple boxes?
I don't know. Put them in their recycling.
I honestly don't give a shit. I'm just glad all that stuff's out of our house and onto someone else.
The lab. Didn't
someone have a suggestion a while ago about giving power cables away?
Well, someone wanted them?
No, someone that worked here suggested giving away.
Oh, yeah, we tried to do that several years ago, and Kevin's anxiety would not allow it.
Well, I gave away that box that we placed out in the middle of our parking lot, and it was gone after...
Free power cables to a good home.
Yeah, a lot of people went past it, probably think it was a bomb or something, but it came through after a few minutes.
Well,
a few hours.
We got a bunch of... So I shipped 10 boxes... I've got a guy coming next Friday to pick up another one.
You don't have to delete data off of them. I mean, they're just pre-secure erased.
I also have one more apparently that I committed to that we did not deliver. In other Reddit news, if you go to /r/VMware this weekend, assuming we can actually get the podcast link working, we're giving away a tie-in AMD server on that subreddit. So definitely check that out. We'll ship it to you. It comes with a well-secured SSD in the back of the unit. We've got a video up on YouTube about the unit, so check that out. One of our more comprehensive build-out videos, I think, especially the last 30 to 40 seconds.
It has something special added in there for safety.
It's got highs, it's got lows, it's got everything.
It has some
in between.
Sticky stuff inside.
Oh,
which
dear
that
Lord.
May be yeah. really bad. In the way that was phrased, but...
Yeah, there may not be enough beer for me for this podcast to get this done. Sober is not the way I want to go through the rest of this afternoon. What else we got? Oh, so the microserver, I don't know if we finished talking about that. Yeah, I guess we did. We put ESXi on it. We've got expensive parts in a couple $100 box, so that's fun.
I think we're going to have to add that 100 gig card in just because we can.
Yeah. I don't know if the little single fan's going to be real happy with it once we get going. You got the J unit going. We got an ASUS Store NAS going.
Yeah, it's done testing.
A bunch of notebooks for workstations we're looking at. What else we got in the review queue? We got that Alex is working on that Hammer bludgeon box I did a video on yesterday.
Mm-hmm. TerraMaster and the Gigabyte went up this week, so...
Yeah, nice. Gigabyte got caught up in the disaster that was the website migration as well.
It went up and vanished for a few hours and came back.
Hmm. Yeah, sadly, there's a couple of links on Twitter that go to it that don't really go to it,
yeah.
Which I'm going to see if we can figure out. Otherwise, it's going to be one where it should fix itself or something, but yeah.
Self-healing links? That would be nice.
Yeah, it's like when you ask me, like, what am I working on? I kind of forgot everything
I know.
Prior to 9:30 this morning.
This was such a miserable day. Did anything go... We did the video to give away the tie-in. That went well. What else went well today?
The pizza came. It didn't like fall over and smash on the floor.
We had pizza.
I was extremely unproductive today because as soon as the website came back to live...
It ate your...
Alex and project. I started to find everything wrong on the first couple of pages with some help from Canada.
So
busy correcting things.
Nothing has gone well today. It's been such a miserable day. But the week was okay. We worked on the microserver. We got some other videos out. We got some things going. Your day, as bad as it is, isn't as bad as Mad Mike's Day was earlier this week. Did you, Kevin, you probably watched this video, didn't you?
No, I did not. I'm curious.
This dude's doing a special for space.com or some TV show, and is a flat earth, well, was a flat earther.
Oh, good Lord. I think I saw something on this. I'm like, did he just launch himself into the ground?
No, he launched himself up, and the parachutes, I think, immediately ripped off in his steam rocket crash. But his plan was to get to 60,000 feet and prove to himself that the Earth is flat.
Couldn't he launch a drone? Or
60,000 feet, but I mean, there's... Unless he's a big tinfoil hat kind of guy, there's lots of things, pictures that high he could have just looked at.
Oh, he says he's only trying to get to 5,000 feet. That doesn't seem very far.
It's not going to prove anything from the perspective of...
What are the flat earthers looking to prove anyway? I don't really know a lot about that movement.
Each of their things, they seem to prove that the Earth is round in each of the little experiments. That's the only thing I've come up with.
Well, so I haven't been to space yet. But I've seen, what's the name of that Red Bull guy that took the, I almost said umbrella, that took the, what's that big thing with the air balloon up and then jumped out of it?
Yeah.
That guy, about 3 or 4 years ago or maybe longer. You can see it looks like a round thing that we're sitting on.
Yes.
Plus eclipses and other planets we can see, and pretty much everything this large in space.
We could still see the sun spherical. If we were flat, couldn't we?
We'd be the only thing flat thing around. Yeah, but we would have a lot more questions than answers.
Yeah, it's a bizarre movement.
Is it just a giant troll, or do these people really believe in it?
I think it's easy access to conspiracy theories.
Like Bigfoot, perhaps?
Oh,
but...
don't get off of that.
Well, we know Bigfoot's real, of course.
Kevin has a...
he's an interdimensional being, don't worry.
Kevin has a loved one that's into the Bigfoot. All right, so as bad as that news was, there's this really good news that I found uplifting. I know you guys aren't sports people, but I pulled up this video of this lady at an Ole Miss basketball game. You know where they do those promos where if you shoot a ball from half court or whatever, you win a $500 gift card. This lady drains from end to end, 84-year-old lady, drains from end to end a putt into a tiny little, like, Tom and Jerry mouse hole at the other side and wins a car. It says 84 on the top of the video. But
what did
86.
She win? What type of car? Was it an Oldsmobile?
94-foot putt, straight as an arrow. And won a car, and that place went nuts, I'm sure.
What kind of car?
It was sponsored by a Toyota thing, I think, wasn't it? Oh, no, here you go. Nissan Altima. 2020 Nissan Altima. Now, here's the thing. You know you can insure those. Like, Lloyd's of London or somebody will insure that crap so that you pay, $500 in insurance, and if she makes it, then they eat the cost on the car. But that the odds of making that putt are so low... I bet they didn't insure it, and then that GM or whoever's running that dealership sees that thing go in and has mixed emotions over the excitement, and then the, oh shit, we've got to give her I don't know, what's an Altima go for these days?
30,000 maybe?
Probably.
25 to 30.
Yeah, so that lady was jazzed and gets that car, white Nissan Altima.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her. So it was... crappy as our day has been, and the guy that exploded himself, that was the good news. Adam, what else you got on news?
There wasn't that much news this week. We were holding off minor stories.
Yeah,
we were, a good idea.
We were waiting to get the website switched over, which we've been trying to do all week.
The first big news that is back on the website now is Dell. They have a new subscription pricing service for their technologies cloud, which is a combination of Dell EMC hardware and VMware. They say it's as cheap as $70 per node per day. That vanished for a while, but we got it back.
And good.
Other big news for the week was Intel has some new second-gen Xeon scalable CPUs. They have the same specs as the first one, or some of these, but lower prices, for example.
The there are some of them are more limited. So the model number is escaping me, but they've hit different price points for two socket limited platforms for a much lower price.
Yeah, for example, the 6285R has the same specs as the 8280, but the price is $4,000 to $10,000 difference.
Yeah.
So that was the one that lined up right. The others were a little off when you try to line them up to the old. But those are the two main stories this week. The only other story, I think, was AIC released those HCI boxes.
I like those quad node.
Yeah.
2U, 4-node so boxes.
Just, white boxes for OEMs.
I'm surprised we don't see a little bit more of that for the SDS guys, especially now with SSDs prices continuing to come down and the density going up. Lots of potential there. So one of the other things that happened last week, I guess, the Kioxia PCIe Gen 4 drives they announced. Mm-hmm. And so that's a bigger and bigger thing. And we've been working with Lenovo on the SR635. That's their 1U single CPU Rome EPYC Gen 2 processor platform. And we're going to swap out that front bay. I just got confirmation our NVMe PCIe Gen 4 front bays are on the way. So that's coming along. And when we made the video on that SR635, the system, I mean, Kevin, you like it, right? The componentry being so easy to just pull out, there's hardly anything screwed into that thing. Everything just pulls out.
Well, yeah. Well, what's kind of funny is every time we've gotten one of the Lenovo systems in, every single platform I've put in an NVMe bay. So I'm very familiar with the process.
Well, so we've got a visit from Russ Resnick on the podcast today. I did an interview with Russ earlier this week to talk about what Lenovo's doing with their AMD, not just the AMD, but primarily the AMD servers and what they've got going on there. So let's bring that in and listen in. It's a pretty good interview. Joining us on the podcast today, we've got Russell Resnick with Lenovo. Thanks for joining in.
Good afternoon from sunny Raleigh.
Yeah, it's an odd, partially sunny day today in Cincinnati. We're used to gray, overcast, and cold this time of year. So we're always jealous of the southeast weather.
Yes.
So tell us, I know you as my AMD server guy, but I'm sure that's not what's on your card. What's your role down at Lenovo?
So my title is segment manager for the 1 and 2 socket rack and tower servers. So I work with a team to create and bring to market our portfolio of 1 and 2 socket rack and tower servers, which now includes both Intel and AMD.
So that's the bulk of the portfolio. I know you've got other stuff. We've got an SR950 in here, for instance, which is not a 1 or 2 socket server.
Right. So I have a peer who handles the blade servers and the 4-socket servers and the 8-socket servers. And then there's someone else who handles our new Edge offering.
Okay. Right. SE350, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's a neat little beast too. We intend to get around to that, but that is not in your domain. So we'll keep it to your domain. I know we're really excited about the SR635. That's the single socket 1U AMD server based on the new Rome processors. But before we get too deep into that, Lenovo didn't, I think is my understanding, didn't make a commercially available server on the Gen 1 EPYC, the Naples CPUs. Tell me about how you guys got into AMD and what the history is there, and then let's dive deeper into the new Rome boxes.
Yeah, so we actually worked with some customers on some Naples products. As you know, we have a very large hyperscale business. Mm-hmm. We sell to 7 of the 10 largest hyperscale customers in the world. So some of them approached us with an interest in Naples. So we actually created 2 Naples products for those customers. But we didn't see Naples as really being ready for prime time or for general purpose usage. But that did give us a you know, an introduction to what AMD was doing and where their roadmap was going, and how we could take advantage of their roadmap moving forward.
Okay, so yeah, I think that's one of the things that maybe a lot of people don't know about Lenovo, and I don't want to speak for you. It's not even your group, I don't think, but it's my understanding that if given a certain order volume, that you guys will create, if not bespoke, some pretty customized platforms that, you know, wouldn't show up in your traditional Lenovo.com store.
Oh, yeah, we certainly will. We call it the ODM Plus model.
Right.
In that, you know, we own our own card manufacturing, which many of our competitors don't. We own our own factories where we integrate the systems, you know, build the systems. So we can work with a customer to create a totally custom system and where we design, assemble both the motherboards, and then we assemble the chassis.
And yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, we can you know, we can hand you a single server, or we can roll in a rack full of servers that's totally configured, tested, ready to go.
And that falls, you have a support program for those as well, I assume?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's get into Rome. So now Rome's out. You guys were at the launch that I was at, that AMD held last year. So I got to see firsthand some of the work done. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions and maybe issues with the AMD progression from Naples to Rome is not so much the fact that first gen systems that were on Naples are drop-in compatible with Rome, but that there's new stuff capable in Rome, most notably from our perspective around storage, is PCIe Gen 4. Because you made a new system, you're able to take advantage of the whole stack in PCIe Gen 4 in the front and the back of the system. Maybe talk about that a little bit in terms of why you guys did what you did with the SR635 and SR655 and the importance, or you know, perceived importance, at least from my perspective, of being able to support all those new things that AMD has to offer.
Right. So we realized that just taking a Rome CPU and dropping it in a Naples design wouldn't really give the customers the full value of what Rome brings to the market. So we decided early on that we were going to design a system that took advantage of Rome, you know, in all the ways we could. So we the 635 and 655, you know, are complete Gen 4 system. There's no Gen 3 cape. I mean, it'll run at Gen 3 speeds, but
sure.
every slot is designed to run at Gen 4 speeds. We made sure that the power delivery to the CPU would allow the new 64 core CPUs to run at full speed. If you drop a Rome CPU into a Naples box, the 64 core CPUs will be forced to throttle because they can't get enough power off the board. So we wanted to make sure that the 64 core CPUs would run at full speed. And I think we've demonstrated that. We have a number of world records for a variety of workloads on the one socket system with the 64 core CPU.
I know you're also excited about, or at least in your marketing materials as I consume them and as we think about PCIe Gen 4, that you've got non-blocking. So in the 635, 1U single socket server, we can get, let's see, let me remember the spec sheet. We can put 10 NVMe PCIe Gen 4 in the front. You can put 4 in this internal chassis on inside the system, and then 2 more on the back. So we can get 16 in the 1U. Is my count right there?
Yeah, you did your homework. That's right. And yeah, now that may not be for everybody, but it certainly
fully
exploits the full capability in the system. And for those customers who want to turn this into a software-defined storage node or a hyper-converged node, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, so one of the things, and we did, as you saw a video on the SR635, just exploring the layout. One of the things that we're always so impressed with in the Lenovo designs is how modular everything is. It's, you know, even the M.2 sled that was in ours, we didn't have the internal 4-bay unit, But that, the raid card, the backplane, it's like two tabs and lift and pull and yank it out. How important is that to you guys or to your customers? Because on one half, I think, well, most people are never going to even take the lid off of these things and will never even notice that modularity. But on the other hand, as we tinker and play with these things, as I think about like home lab guys or developers that want to get really into the componentry, it's really cool. And how do you guys think about that?
Well, we think about it from the customer point of view, which is, you know, ThinkSystem has a record of, you know, being the server with the least amount of unplanned downtime. And there's some independent studies that confirm that. The only server that's better than ThinkSystem is the IBM Z series, you know, the mainframe.
Right.
And part of that is because many of us here come from IBM System X, and we bring that philosophy with us. So part of the situation is we want to keep unplanned downtime to a minimum. So a lot of these features that allow for easy removal of backplanes and other kinds of things come from the desire to make sure that the units are very serviceable, so that if you know, in the rare event there is an issue, it can be resolved quickly. So that's why we do that for the customer. Now, the other thing we try to do to keep costs down and make sure that we meet our commitments to our customers, we want to make sure that these systems reuse a lot of parts. So if you look at the 635, the 655, and upcoming products, you'll see that they share a lot of backplanes and power supplies and RAID cards and things like that. So we want to make sure that we reuse as many parts as possible to keep the number of unique parts down, which allows us, you know, allows the supply chain a lot more efficiency, which helps us, you know, meet our commitments to our customers in terms of delivery. I think if you look at Lenovo as a total company, I think it's like we make something like every 19 seconds or something like that. So we're very much oriented towards high volume manufacturing and being very efficient in what we manufacture. So that's a lot of the reasons for that.
Yeah, well, it doesn't go unnoticed once you pop the lid or have had experience with, you know, many other servers. It just, the modularity is impressive. And just the fact that, you know, I'm getting hung up on this one thing just because I think it's so neat. But for people to understand, inside this one U server, there's a slot that's side by side where you've got a RAID card and you've got, in our version anyway, an M.2 SSD sled. These two trays just literally pick up out of the system, decable, I think maybe on the RAID card, but the M.2 is pin connected. And then you can drop in a 4 2.5-inch drive NVMe bay thing that rises up like you know, one of those missile launchers from 80s movies, you know, where the thing lifts up and then you can slot in four drives and then punch it back down. It's just right. Really neat. Mm-hmm. We think it's cool.
Yeah, and now not a lot of customers may be interested in making that switch on the fly, but certainly for business partners, you know, our channel partners who want to configure systems themselves for customers, it makes it a lot easier because they can buy a system, you know, out of distribution, and it's ready to go to be configured just the way the customer wants.
Yeah. So what do you do? We haven't talked a lot about the 655. So that's your single proc 2U box. And I'm not as close to that one yet, although hopefully we can fix that soon. What does that bring you in terms of flexibility compared to the 1U guy?
Well, it's got further drive density. I believe that server supports 32 drives, 32 2.5-inch drive.
Yeah, in a 2U.
Yeah, in a 2U. And it'll with 2-to-1 oversubscription, you can do 32 NVMe drives and still have enough lanes for high-speed I/O out of the box. The other thing it can do is it can support six T4 class GPUs, mm-hmm, for, say, an inference engine, or a mix of both T4s and drives if you wanted to do some kind of edge analytics storage device. We have customers that do those kinds of things with it. And at the same time, it can also support 20 3.5-inch spindles. So if you wanted to do some kind of storage node or surveillance node,
Sure.
23 and a half inch spindles is a lot of storage.
Well, sure. It's 16 terabytes a pop or whatever they are now. I mean, you can,
right.
That's a pretty strong density statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you bring up a good point on the PCIe edge card growth that you get in a 2U. You get more slots there. I know. So we know, let's see, Kioxia has announced PCIe Gen 4. Samsung has. I believe the others are relatively close by. I'm always reluctant to say those things because I can't remember sometimes what I know publicly and what I know privately. But I think that's accurate. And we're excited about the performance storage that's capable here. But that's not the only story on Gen 4. I had a call with Mellanox, and they just shipped us, actually showed up a day or two ago, their ConnectX-6 card, which is PCIe Gen 4 compatible. When you guys think about the what's available to you in Gen 4, storage one, I/O is another, what do you guys get excited about? Or maybe what are your customers getting excited about?
Well, if you remember at the launch, one of our partners, Eilat, who's a customer of ours out of Israel, they're very happy with the AMD One socket because, you know, their appliance is really a network device that does packet inspection. And so by having that many PCI lanes coupled to that many cores, they can build a very dense, very high throughput network device. So we talk about storage and talk about GPUs, but there's this other part of the world that wants to do, you know, high speed networking, NFV, and those kinds of things. And the architecture of the AMD CPU and the system really lends itself to that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I know we're excited about the 635. We've got some upcoming work to do on that system that's going to be, we think it's going to be really, really neat to push the limits of the lanes, of the CPU, of the I/O. I mean, there's just so much potential. So we're going to be working on that over the next couple of weeks. Can't wait to see what you guys come up with next. And thanks for taking the time to join us on the podcast today, Russ. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, and you're quite welcome.
All right. So I'd like to thank Russ again for joining us on the podcast. We're really happy with these little 10-12 minute segments. Could have gone on with Russ for forever, but forcing us and forcing the guests to distill their message down, I think helps keep it tight and share some important messaging. And you know, we can always have them back on. But yeah, we talked up the AMD platforms. And like I said, I love the thing because you can just yank out that RAID card, the M.2 card, and drop in that 4 NVMe module in the middle of the board and get 16 drives into a 1U box. That's pretty impressive. Hopefully we'll be able to get a dozen or so PCIe Gen 4 SSDs soon to check that out. Kevin, what else you have going on in the lab?
Right now I am just not sure. We're cleaning up projects.
We are cleaning up projects.
Getting some more platforms set up and a lot more updates in. It's just been a week where we haven't had a lot of motion on reviews, so it's kind of a...
we've had a lot of little stuff getting done.
So I've been playing some maintenance aspects. People still complain about my, why is your network 176?
Oh, yeah, you got that one today on Reddit, didn't you?
And the answer is, I messed up like 10 years ago, and I have so many things on the 176 side that I just can't bring myself to switch them all over. So we're slowly moving it over on one of our VLANs.
Isn't that when you were direct linked to China?
No, I think it's like Dubai that uses the 176 address. Somewhere around there.
And for some period of time, we were getting access from thousands of people looking for things in Dubai?
No, these are all internal addresses. The mode of confusion was, I was like, how the hell am I pinging this IP address from home? And then I was like, oh. It's like it wasn't working one day, and then all of a sudden it did. And I'm like, how is this working? Why is the ping time like,
why is it working?
70 milliseconds. And then did a tracer it and realized it was bouncing around the globe. So,
Yeah, that's always exciting. Network noob mistakes version one.
We got some jujitsu in the lab yesterday too.
Ooh, yeah. Adam was training Kevin on takedowns, or more appropriately,
being taken down.
Taking down Kevin in the lab. That was, you had a pretty good look on your face when he came up and looked like he was going to put you into the door before you hit the floor.
See, I like to mysteriously drop servers on people.
Ooh,
it's more covert.
Yeah. You get this side, I'll get the other side, and then that's when you let go. Yeah. Yes. Ooh, yeah. Server jitsu, that could be the next gen. Well, someone was asking on YouTube about the bludgeon box, and I said, well, with your jiu-jitsu skills and the bludgeon box, we could have a mixed martial arts meets IT.
Fight off the zombie horde from the storage review headquarters.
Well, we'll probably need to. This brings me to the bad news that is in the tall grass.
Oh, yeah. It was a movie.
So it was a movie, and it's Dream for Free on Netflix, which were two of the requirements I gave you.
You can't get those hours back.
It was only an hour and 40 minutes.
It was short. It felt like I watched it three times. And here's what I realized is I did actually watch this movie before on a plane, but I stopped like the 14th time they went into the stupid grass because I was just... It was so shitty, I couldn't even watch it on an airplane.
In my defense, I recommended this off the novella, which is way better. They only go in the grass one time. There's no time loop weirdo stuff happening. Pretty much the first 25 minutes, and you add on the baby eating part, and that's pretty much
it. Oh, I remember this movie. I was trying to watch it months ago,
the baby eating part.
It was just awful.
Oh, it's miserable.
And we did not continue the movie. I think we moved on to something better.
So I had this whole suspicion that I'd seen this movie before, and I thought, well, maybe I just saw the commercial or a trailer at a much better movie. And no, I'm sure I'd watched at least half of it on an airplane. And when I abandon a movie on an airplane where my standards are so low...
Yeah, it was not a good thing. Patrick Wilson was good in it, though, I have to admit. Ross,
bad
guy, he... He unfortunately was attempting to carry the movie and just was not quite strong enough.
I'm going to say, I don't blame the actors at all on that one. The writing was just piss poor. Yeah. And that kid was creepy as shit. Like, if I had a kid that looked like that, I would be afraid of being murdered by my own son.
Yeah, it was kind of weird how they kept him from being, like, evil and good. Joe Hill's work, his writing is fantastic. He's Stephen King's son. His adaptations into movies have not been great. The Horns one with Harry Potter was not good. Apparently, Lock and Key, the new Netflix show, is extremely boring, even though
they've promoted that pretty heavy, haven't they?
Yeah, everyone I knew that was a fan of the comics have watched the show and say it's pretty and really boring. Nothing happens.
So I don't know if it's an attention span thing or just a time available thing, but I've been doing a lot better with shows, with serials, than with movies, because I just so rarely... can watch a movie in one go where I've got to be, you know, just there for an hour and 40 minutes or 2 hours or whatever. That aside, I did see Ethan, the older boy, and I went over and visited his ailing but recovering grandfather and watched Ford v. Ferrari, which was really good. By the way, I know you saw that, right?
Yes, very good.
It's excellent. But did you watch the 24-hour Le Mans doc yet on Netflix?
No, not yet.
It's better. So definitely watch that. It's really, really good. That's an Adam Carolla joint. He's got that one. He's got one on Carol Shelby. And he's got one, another one out now called Uppity. They're all very, very good. Even if you're not into racing, I recommend those. So the docs aside, the... I banged through Narcos Mexico 2, which was strong again, and halfway through Better Call Saul again. So I've managed to wash your nightmare of a movie recommendation away with... It was like watching Groundhog Day meets Blair Witch meets... Gosh, I don't know. There's one more with all the people in it.
No, I'm trying to remember. Was it the one where they're talking to each other, but they're like getting farther away sometimes?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the worst parts. She's like, she's 6 months pregnant or whatever. She's like, jump and we can see each other. And they jump. Now, all of a sudden, these two white people that are 5-something
playing basketball,
can jump 18 jumping. Feet in the yeah. air. Are you kidding me? What is that crap?
The thing so disappointing about that is it's on Netflix. It was always meant to be on Netflix. So why didn't they just copy the book? I mean, because if you could actually take the book parts out of that movie. It's 40 minutes long then.
Well, they paid the book guy anyway, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they don't have to make a feature-length film. Why? There's no point in making
it. Just make it a shorty?
Yeah, make it like the book that everyone enjoyed and won all the awards. And
so it was around the time they started jumping was when I stopped watching the
that
movie.
That was like 8 minutes in.
I know.
It's so stupid.
Watch him eat the baby.
The whole movie is so stupid. It is. I was trying to think of what the worst movie I saw before that one was, and this one was so bad, combined with today's trauma of the website, is I don't have any memories beyond like 3 weeks ago.
I had high hopes until about the 20-minute mark. Then my hopes slipped
away. Is that when the boyfriend shows up?
Yeah, he wasn't in. He was mentioned in the book as impregnating her, and that was it. But he's like a very major character in the movie.
Yeah, a really big character, and then yeah, kicks the kid out at the end, right?
Kind of the main character. Yeah, like that was a weird choice. Again, man. I mean, when you have a non-standard movie platform, you don't have to make standard movies because you do, and it turns out terrible.
I guess. Well, I found it to be absolutely disastrous. And I think if you don't have a good choice this week, this could be the end of Adam's Movie Corner.
Great choice.
Goonies? All right, let's hear it. Lay it on us.
It's on Hulu.
I do have Hulu.
The Art of Self-Defense. It's Jesse Eisenberg. It's very good.
From Zombieland, is that?
Yep, same guy. I almost said kid, but he's almost 40 now, I think.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, this is a black comedy. It's somewhere in between The Karate Kid and Fight Club.
It's new too. Did it go into theaters?
Probably for a limited release.
2.4 million bucks. So that's another pretty typical sign of an Adam pick.
Yeah, I think this one has a little more critical acclaim. You'd have to click on Rotten Tomatoes, but
yeah, 84% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
it won't be a steaming pile of shit like the last one.
Yeah, it has a you know, top-tier actor in it, so that's a good sign.
It's not always a good
sign. Not always, but he does lots of quirky, weird films.
Oh, gosh. Well,
I've enjoyed this one. It's got a little bit of violence, but it's not super over the top like the last several.
All right, The Art of Self-Defense. We'll check it out. I will leave you with one last note before we go. There was a... we often talk about AI, all these server guys and storage guys are always talking about how their systems are AI ready and their edge computers and all this stuff. You know, they go in the back of self-driving cars, record all that data. They're always talking about that.
There's
GPUs.
There's so much talk about AI, but there's very little details that usually follow.
Well, there's no details ever.
Yeah.
So here's an AI. I had no idea that this company existed. So in Columbus, just 2 hours sort of northeast of us, there's a company that has a self-driving, they call it a bus, but when you see this thing, it's really pretty tiny. I don't know. How many people do you think would fit in that thing? The one Linden?
Four, maybe?
Easy mile. Yeah, it looks like maybe it backs up. Maybe 10? I don't know. It's nothing. They've suspended operations because of an injury that 12 passengers. They suspended operations because of an injury because the bus saw something and stopped. Do you know how fast the bus was going at the time of this severe injury?
8 miles per hour?
7 miles per hour.
Who got injured at 7 miles per hour?
Somebody fell out, not out of the bus, but fell out of their seat onto the floor. And so now they've suspended operations.
I mean, at the Cincinnati Zoo, there's a little train for kids, and if somebody walks on the track, it immediately stops, and it goes faster than 7 miles an hour, and I don't think anyone's ever been hurt in 30 years.
Of all this talk of embracing AI and being ready for the next thing, and all these edge servers that can do all this computational crap in the back of these things, 7 miles per hour, and now we're going to suspend operations while we investigate the crime of someone falling on their butt.
I mean, it may have something to do with the person not sitting in the seat properly, or
it could be anything.
Yeah,
because how fast is 7? I mean, I can't even imagine if you're
7 is like. I mean, you're probably in that range at like doing a jog or maybe
that's a quick run.
How many joggers trip at 7 miles an hour and they pretty much dust themselves off and get up and start running again?
I mean, or not fall.
That's like a stop on a bike with barely skidding your tire.
Yes, but your ass does not go off seat and send you flying like a cartoon. Like when Wile E. Coyote hits the brakes on his rocket thing and he keeps going, but the rocket stopped. This is not that.
That's probably what happened. She went through the windshield down the road. Maybe she was not a young woman.
That's possible. Columbus fire medics were sent to East 12th Avenue to took the woman to Ohio State University with minor injuries. I would be ashamed to go to the emergency room with minor injuries.
Yeah, anyway, high speed was your collision?
7 miles
per hour.
Well, there's probably going to be a little hush money now, so they don't shut down their Easy Mile. What's it called again? Easy Mile? Easy Mile program in Columbus. So there we have it. It's the idiocy of humans that are going to play the downfall of AI adoption and the advancement of technology.
Yes. Well, that's where Skynet comes in to save us all.
Except Skynet's probably moving faster than 7 miles per hour.
Skynet's probably going to come put us out of our misery.
You do know that the missile AI system that used by the Air Force is called Skynet, right?
Yeah, but it's old. It's been around a long time, yeah?
Yeah, it was actually named Skynet by somebody who had never seen the Terminator movie, so it was kind of funny because everyone laughed and he didn't get the joke.
It's a network in the sky. Yeah. Makes sense to me. Well, we're going to call it on the podcast. We're going to produce this thing, load it to the website. And I already know the podcast URL is broken, so no one's going to hear this thing.
So, yeah, well, it'll still be the links to iTunes and Stitcher and all that'll be there.
Yeah, but they're not going to have it because the podcast RSS feed's broken.
No.
Yeah, so of our Kevin's optimistic 90%, my less optimistic 82% site readiness, one day somebody will get this. We'll take the Russ Resnick interview and put that up on YouTube. We'll videoize that so at least the good part of the podcast lives on. And hopefully next week we'll have brighter lights and more optimism. Until then, thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you guys joining us. Thanks and bye-bye.